Good. And we're going to John next, also from Canada. Our Canadian brethren are calling in today. John, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Greg.
Well,
yeah, you know, you were saying about, you know, we want police officers to exercise good judgment. Wouldn't that be nice? And it's really, yeah, it's really what the whole nature of justice is supposed to be about. But you got to remember, as you probably do or know of, you know, there's been several criminal actions taken in the courts against our police services for, by example, when a police officer goes through recruitment training and they do the mental aptitude, they find out he has above average IQ, he's not wanted. We don't want that person there in that job position. We don't want a smart guy there. Now, I would argue that that's there's a whole case to be made there on who actually truly needs to be arrested for treason. You're undermining our abilities to effectively police our communities, for one. But this goes right back into also what you were talking about. What are you going to do when they, the government, come knocking on your door as they're planning in London to do by force? You know, this is a for sure real thing that's going down. If and when they do that in America, how are we going to react? And it's interesting, I heard earlier today on another radio program, two people having that same discussion, and they concluded that you better just let them inject you because you're going to lose. These guys carry guns and are familiar with interrogation techniques to make you say whatever they want you to. So,
John, I have to just say this briefly because you're doing such a great job here and you're describing a problem that most people either have intentionally stepped away from, and they just don't want to face it, or they are truly ignorant. They just don't have the facts, and they're not facing it either way. But I have to tell you that I am continually bombarded by sources in law enforcement from the United States that are telling me in no uncertain terms that the day is coming soon. Now, when I say soon, it's like, well, if you're a Christian, when's the rapture going to occur? I don't know. But probably soon. Well, whatever that means to each and every one of you, get past that and listen to this. What is coming is so incredibly out of line for law enforcement and the traditions of this nation alone that it boggles the mind. What's going to happen in Europe and perhaps even in Canada? I had two callers off the air from Canada calling and telling me that you're looking at mandated vaccinations sometime this fall. Is that correct?
Well, it's all pretty, like you say, I tell you, there's another way of going about this. It's to understand that they would minimally be guilty of criminal negligence. Anybody who comes to your door with a vaccine from Baxter. Baxter has the official patent as inventor of H1N1. You know,
yeah.
These are the guys that invented it. So it's minimally criminal negligence, but it's also, it's far worse for those who are cognizantly aware of the facts here and refuse to stand up as men or women of our community. We know mercury in vaccines causes horrific neurological brain damage. We know aluminum does also. We know that the influenza virus strain is a constantly mutating virus. It travels in swarms, true. I mean, there's lots of science that we do not have available for those who speak for our communities as government officials demanding that this is the course of action we would agree to. We wouldn't, right?
Absolutely, John. You are so right on this. I tell you, it's incredible, the information you're putting out here, and I appreciate it very much because what it does is it strikes at the heart of the issue, and the one question that I keep asking and I don't get an answer for is why? Why are you doing this without available science that says that there is something so overwhelmingly safe and so overwhelmingly necessary that we must take it? I have not heard one syllable that would convince me as a parent or as an individual that I would have my child, myself, or anyone under my care injected with the elements that are found in this so-called vaccine. It's almost like committing slow suicide.
Oh, it's attempted murder. I mean, these are serious allegations that will be solidly proven in any court of law that has ourselves as the peers. You know, we want to rely on what science teaches us. Jane Burgermeister has filed the formal paperwork to the FBI, and through the connections that she has, the FBI are actually forced to either arrest these people at Baxter or demand their arrest or explain why they're not going to move forward on this issue. There's a criminal investigation going on in Austria right now. These people at Baxter, for whatever they're, you know, people will try to find why they act so unjustly and evil to our, to humanity. Why do they do that? That's the motive. It's not the critically important thing to try to understand. The critically important thing to try to understand is they're actively working to try to, for whatever reason they have, to kill us. This is a toxin that's only going to cause us grievous harm and perhaps death. They've repeatedly been caught screwing up trans or so-called, mistaking when they send up vaccines. They're filled with active viral contaminants. Why wasn't there an arrest made there? Oh, that just happened a couple months ago? And again, the thing that's important, two scientists at Baxter are the inventors of H1N1. This same company is going to save us from the vaccine that they created. They say 740 people so far died from H1N1. I want Baxter arrested for those 740-plus murders. These are acts of murder. They created this virus. They let it go purposefully to make these billions of dollars in contracts, and they deserve to be prosecuted for it. The evidence is solid. As Burgermeister Jane does speak much more eloquently, having all the facts at her fingertips, and she should be on CNN right now because nobody can find disagreement with her. Evil people hide in darkness and pretend they're our friends. They don't have the science. They don't have the facts. They don't have the justice.
You are absolutely correct. You are absolutely correct. And you have luminaries such as Prince Charles and others across the planet who are saying, look, depopulate. We must depopulate. And what better way to depopulate than mass inoculate and then depopulate? It's got a solid thread, and it goes right back to the same source, as you said, and that's Baxter.
Yeah, and interestingly, just a sort of side note, because this is another interesting study that people spend a lot of time on about, well, maybe we should eradicate half of humanity, kill all these innocent victims, just as long as I get to survive and take up their property and this kind of mentality. It's important to understand, there's a food conference that happens every 8 years. I can't recall what it's called, but there's a woman named Susan Day. She wrote a book on this called How the Other Half Dies, and she wrote it, I think, in the late 70s. And this food conference comes to the same conclusions every single year. There's vast amounts of food to feed everybody. Almost all the countries that have starvation occurring, they have food surpluses. We just have people that are rooking us every which way possible to deny us privileges, like the IMF, relentlessly, and the World Bank, ruthlessly attacking poor countries, make them suffer, make them die. We want to steal their resources. And they do it in our name, and they say, oh, no, we're a charity organization, like the World Bank. It's a charity organization, if people didn't know. But these people have stolen billions and billions and billions of dollars from us. They're billionaires. They're running a charity, and they're billionaires. And all they have is 50 years of death and destruction to lay claim as their action. These people have stolen our authority. We're just lacking a little bit of leadership here and there. You know, these ideas are powerful for you, the listener, to exercise these same rights, because the freedoms I'm trying to defend are just as soon to be yourself. And you have to make the effort to pick up your phone and call other talk radio programs. RBN, as you were saying, Greg, is phenomenal. Compare RBN to what? You know, there's not much out here, and it's supposed to be a nation of 300 million Americans. I want you people to get up and get angry, I am.
John, I'll tell you, you're a cheerleader, man. I'd hire you in a heartbeat if I needed a motivational guy. motivated.
Well,
listen, John, thanks so much for your call.
Right.
I appreciate it very much. Folks, I'll tell you, that's a fount of wisdom that you've just heard, and he's right on the money. Government is supposed to be here to help us, to secure our borders, to take care of the people that really, really need to be taken care of. They're here to be benevolent. They're here to work with us. They're here to see that we have more freedom, not less freedom. They're here to let us flower and bloom and plan our own destiny. And what has government become anywhere, especially in the United States, the supposed bastion of freedom and liberty? We have become a dictatorship, a tyranny that is imposing against our will these vaccinations, the government programs, the socialism, the communism, and the police state tactics that we have been discussing in part of this program. Chris, you're in Canada. You've been very patient. Thank you. I hope you're still there. Chris, come on the air with me. How are you today?
Hey. Well, you know what? I don't know. It's hard to compete with John in Canada.
Well, he's believe he has a script, but he sure knows what he's talking about. Well, what have you got to say about all this?
I don't know. He made me rather dizzy because everything he
said.
Well,
I'll tell you what, John, now you're going to have to wait, or Chris, I mean, because we've got a break. Listen, hang on. We'll take you right after the break. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. Great show. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, this these police brutalities that seem to be continuing. I would try to get people to consider that there actually might actively be a criminal intent to destabilize America's civil society. Now, for what their motives are, I don't know necessarily, but we know, you know, we know the bankers are trying to make off with $24 trillion. That's probably a good motive. And these vaccines, as you might be aware, I hope I just get an opportunity to mention briefly too about the new report that came out today regarding the World Health Organization making it mandatory for American children to take their inoculations. And the guys that are going to be knocking on your door are going to have soldiers beside them, which was another revelation today. And we got to remember, many of these soldiers that serve for America's cause, they wear American uniforms, but they're from third world military dictatorships, and likely they don't even speak English. But police brutality. You know, there was the guy just a couple of, probably about the same time as Obama made his statements about his friend being taken in by the cops, just about the same time, a cop, an off-duty cop, I think it was in Minneapolis, got into an altercation with somebody who was wearing a Speedo and didn't identify himself as a police officer and shot him repeatedly in the chest and killed him on the scene.
Wow.
They didn't arrest the cop for murder. They didn't arrest the cop for murder, and they'll tell you, hey, we didn't arrest him for murder. They're trying to destabilize our society. On MSNBC, there was a woman who was, I think she was trying to sue the police department for beating her up. Four cops viciously beat her next to death, and they actually had it videotaped. So they showed it on MSNBC, and she doesn't come at the officer at all threatening. She seems like she might be upset about something. She's being held in a room, but they got the whole thing filmed, and she doesn't threaten the cop, but he just lays right into her, throws her up against the cement wall, and we're told three other cops come in there and continually beat on her.
Jeez.
They showed the video on MSNBC. They show the video on MSNBC, and they say, oh, the cops will not be charged. That was perfectly normal for them to act that way. And they show you the video. She's of no threat, and this 300-pounder is beating on this 120-pound woman. And they want you to see that. They want you to fear the cops.
That's in it at the same time, John. Now we've got Eric Holder, the Attorney General. He's coming out, and he's saying, oh, hey, homegrown terror threat increasing. He did an interview with ABC News. And he says he's increasingly concerned about Americans becoming radicalized and turning to terrorism. He says, I mean, that's one of the things that's particularly troubling, this whole notion of radicalization of Americans. He told ABC News during the interview, in his SUV, as his motorcade brought him from home to work, leaving his country and going to different parts of the world, and then coming back all again in aim of doing harm to the American people, is a great concern. Stay right there, John. We're going to take a quick break. You know, all of this is, you know, it's designed to create this atmosphere of fear and rage all at the same time. You're going to get one segment of the population that is absolutely scared to death, ready to rap their neighbor out, and another portion of the population ready to step out in the street and hurt somebody. And John, I mentioned this last night with Blackhawk, who's a cop down in Texas, that if these type of things continue, and it already has happened in Oakland to a small degree, but there's going to come a time when they do something that, you know, they're going to do something to a kid, and they're going to enrage a community, and it's going to start there, and it's going to spread like wildfire. And I think, as he mentioned, and I agree with him, this is exactly what they're wanting to have happen.
Yeah, well, that's the trick here. We got to realize that they want this, the Bush administration. Oh, I better not get too far off topic, but I mean, there was a time when I was considered Canada's worst terrorist myself. You know, they wanted to put me away, but they got a couple so-called corrupt cops. These were soldiers who became police officers to create false allegations against myself and so on. And I guess still hold the title of the largest court case in Canadian history. I won my case though because I speak fairly well. And even though you're a corrupt cop, justice will rule our ways. If the, you know, if the judge is half honest, if the crowns or, you know, the prosecutors are half honest, so we can isolate who actually a criminal is. You know, these cops that beat up that woman, I want them arrested today, and I will fight to do just that. So, I mean, we can understand that a lot of these draconian, fascistic entities that want to destroy our worlds actually are in very weak positions, although you wouldn't think so. The World Health Organization, for example, they have a Rapacioli there, and he tells soldiers that they can eat depleted uranium by the poundful. So that's the only example you have to give to know that these guys are not scientists. They do not serve our interest to defend our children. As the CDC claims, saying they're going to go after pregnant women and children in America, this is coming up like in a month or two with soldiers at your door, my friends. I mean, that's what I'm reading on the news.
Here's the thing. My kids aren't taking this vaccine. I don't care. You can bring whoever you want to the door. My kids aren't taking it. I mean, just the amount of squalene and things that's inside this vaccine is enough to make anybody want to puke and stay away from it. Anybody who takes this vaccine's a fool.
And that's the trick. That's the trick right there. You said anybody who would do this is a fool. You're right. How many people, if they actually knew that this was so, would do this to their own offspring? Not very many. There's a few. There is a few. Not very many. Now, what is the inability for us to communicate to all police officers, to all people? It's our national news stations at CNN and so on that deny us that privilege. Why is not CNN looking out for the interests of American children by letting them know that the highest levels of squalene ever put into a vaccine will be present in these needles? Mercury is present, which causes horrific neurological brain damage 100% of the time. It's not that's the science that we understand for sure. If CNN really cared for our kids, they'd tell you, well, there are some questions. No, they smile at you. So I think they're going to lose, and some massive change in the way we politically deal with ourselves is going to bring about a great new world. Hopefully not too many people will have to suffer further. But I think that a time is coming when we're going to understand there are principles that we all share. Nobody wants to be murdered. You know, a cop to gun down an innocent man in the street is guilty of murder. He needs to be he needs to be charged for murder for sure. You can't say he's as it's been reported. You know, well, we're taking him off. We're gonna temporarily suspended with pay. No, you've got to put him into custody. This is called murder. They go, oh, he's a cop. I don't care. He's a man of our community.
Right.
So those tricks, they sort of work because they're saying, on a one-way communication on our televisions are going, because we can't respond. They just tell us what it is, and they won't let us respond. But when we, as a concerned public, get our voices heard fairly, things can change for the better. But although we can see through history that this has failed before, in the Philippines, for example, about 4 or 5 years ago, the heads of the military took over to television stations, and they got on the television stations in the Philippines and said, listen, these terrorist acts are being committed by members of our government. They're telling you it's Al-Qaeda. It's really members of our government. Now, they ended up giving themselves up after they broadcast that material, and yet still the people went back into it. They didn't, you know, it was a wake-up period. They thought, all right, it's going to be a bloodless revolution. Nobody has to get shot here. We just realized there are people in political power who are not serving our interests well. We have that in America, too. Today with the CDC telling you they're going to go after your kids, when the Pediatrics Association did a study in 2008 showing influenza shots to children have no measurable beneficial impact. There's no saving children from influenza by giving them the vaccine. They don't care what the pediatric scientists say.
They don't. Case in point, John, the CDC has already taken into their hands 20 million doses of this new swine flu vaccine that hasn't even been tested yet. 20 million doses.
That some child. Yeah, exactly. You know, there's the doctor. Dr. True Ott, you should check this guy out. True is spelled true, and his last name is O-T-T. He discovered on last Friday that Novartis owns the patent on this vaccine that they're going to inject American children with, and they filed the patent in 2005, at the same time that Bush signed the agreement with the World Health Organization that will give them the authority, not the American people, not the American congressmen, but the World Health Organization will decide if they're going to make it mandatory for your children at practical gunpoint to take their poison. And look at that. There's a clear indication of criminal intent to murder people, and guess what else was discovered just a week or so, a little while earlier, was that Baxter holds the patent on the actual virus. It's a reverse-engineered, military-constructed virus. It's not a natural virus with the bird flu and everything else besides thrown in there genetically reverse engineered. It doesn't happen in nature. So they have the patent on it. Now, they're the guys who are working with Novartis saying, now we got to save you. No, you got to be arrested for murder. You say at least 800 people have died because of your action. You are the creator of this death machine. And the thing about Baxter is they've repeatedly gotten caught sending out live contaminated viruses in their...
And plus, let's talk about all the bioweapons that are missing from Fort Detrick. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. John, thanks for the call. Quick break. We'll come back and talk with Ed in Louisiana, who's been patiently waiting. Stay right there. Back in just a minute.
I believe we have John from Winnipeg online.
Hey, Robbie. How you doing?
Hanging in there, brother.
Good. Good show. I wanted to comment on some comments you had earlier on John's show, and John had talked about it too. It was in respect to allegations against Paulson, AIG, Bernanke, and so forth from congressmen, among others, including emails from AIG stating, if we don't give them the bailout on top of the bailout on top of the bailout, they're going to run Americans into the ground. That is for sure the crime of extortion, and it's critically important for us to understand why it's extortion. You know, we already know what their defense would be. They're going to say, no, it was necessary to increase capital. We have to double the nation's monetary supply because all the cash disappeared mysteriously. We're not going to talk about where that cash went, but we're going to double the supply because we need to increase capital. Well, we know J.P. Morgan throughout this entire so-called crisis has had more than $1 trillion in capital in their vaults. And since the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act in 1999, that means J.P. Morgan was perfectly within their legal right to lend as much as $80 trillion over this entire crisis. So why would we give money to them on only hopes and prayers that they'll lend some back to us? This is called extortion. They're stealing our cash with lies, telling us it's necessary to do this when it's they're trying to escape our authority for trading derivatives. 1.5 quadrillion derivatives is beyond all monetary supplies in the entire universe. This is an incomprehensible number comprised of more, you know, it's $1,500 trillion, you know, they say. But as Bear Stearns went bankrupt, where all our assets were depleted from their vaults, they went bankrupt with $77 trillion in derivatives. So the derivatives aren't worth anything. So they don't pay their commissions. When they trade derivative hocus pocus back and forth, when they pay themselves commissions, they paid themselves commissions with our deposits, with our pensions, depleted all our cash, and now we're giving them more cash is a crime in progress. So what do we got to do? We got to formulate criminal warrants for the arrest of these shysters. How do we do it? The oath guys, the oath keepers. These are officers of law. They should understand. We can formulate the evidence to bring these guys to justice. Similarly with these vaccine monsters. Did you hear, Robbie, that Baxter is the company that actually owns the patent as the inventor of H1N1? These guys actually invented the virus, and now they're going to give us the cure. And yet, nobody's really, there's one person they allege died in Britain. Now they're going to inoculate the whole nation. These guys are the most sinister of evildoers I've ever encountered in my study of history. What say you, Ruby?
I agree 100%, John.
Okay, so we're going to do it. They can't defeat us. Did you hear about Brad Sherman, or see Brad Sherman, Congressman Brad Sherman, question Tim Geithner on whether the bailout cash will go to the pockets of those who are trading derivatives today in the marketplace? He wants to know that all this money is going to these scams. Can you tell us that the money that you're blindly taking from us, as you've probably heard, it can be in excess of $24 trillion now. But is this money going to these guys? Refuse to answer. It's way too complicated, he says, beyond your scope of reason. You can't comprehend the games they're playing. And that's always what a banker does. Because a banker, the simplest thing of banking, of course, as you're well aware and John is too, they don't cover our loans, you know? Like, this is the madness of it. They don't cover the loans of which we're expected to pay them back for, plus interest. And they're scammers, as you know, too. You know, that the ninja loans. Imagine that. A bank gives a guy who's got no identification, no job, Mr. Anonymous, multi-million-dollar loan, and with no expectation that the guy's ever going to pay it back. Well, that sounds irrational. Why would a bank risk millions of dollars to go out the door? Well, because they're going to foreclose on that multi-million-dollar property next week, you know? And who'd they give the money to? Probably themselves, because there's no evidence directly tying who actually received the cash. But we don't have evidence directly implicating them for criminal offenses on that front, but we do on them knowingly giving out fraudulent loans on only hopes, as they did, foreclosing on all our properties. And millions of people, or not millions, more than a million homes, as according to MSNBC, have fallen. fallen due to these subprime scams, which are, again, criminal offenses of which we got, apparently we don't have the officers yet committed to defend ourselves, because the guys in power, so-called power, say we have no justification, but I think we do. I don't know. I just know we're on the precipice of achieving something. I know that there is the potential heaven on the horizon if we can recoup all our stolen losses, fix the banking shenanigans by putting these people in prison and recovering the trillions of dollars that have disappeared, putting the 9/11 perpetrators behind bars will save soldiers' lives as a consequence, and then who knows what great frontiers await us in the future if people just get involved, demand the arrest of Bernanke and Paulson, because also, as you're probably aware too, Elizabeth Warren, the head cop, the chairwoman of the Congressional Oversight Panel on the TARP funds, hired an independent auditor herself. The auditor went in there and said there's criminal malfeasance taking place today. They're only giving you 60 cents on what you're supposed to be buying as worth a dollar. There's the audit of the Fed. We've audited them. The auditor says it's criminal fraud. The top cop for the Congressional Oversight Panel says it's fraud, and yet, what's going on? Why aren't we demanding their arrest currently? I think it's just lack of leadership. That's it. And then we can get this started. What do we got to do?
Yeah, well, you got to get rid of the oligarchs.
Yeah, yeah, and the trillionaires. Or not get rid of them. We got to. You're probably aware of this, too. In Canada, we have hedge fund managers that clear more than $25 million a year. They have no risk. They don't take a risk because they use these programs based in chaos where they're able to control the market to our disadvantage. So they nickel and doom all our products and services and make off, in Canada, $25 million salaries, and I can't get a license to do that. Only a special select few of the banking community get to do that. I can't do it if I want. But in your country, we have actual trillionaires, hedge fund managers that were covered by Frontline, talking about how these guys escape with trillions and trillions of dollars because they're able to run their little computer program. And you're probably well aware, too, there's been a new revelation with Goldman Sachs that they even had another operation on top of everything else besides extracting, I think it was, the great Max Kaiser has broken, I think it's $125 million, is it a day or a week or something, just to automatically extract this cash from ourselves and put it in their own private pockets. You know, they are scamming us today, and I know it's only our failures to communicate. If I was speaking this, me and you were on CNN right now, you better believe a lot of soldiers would demand action. So would our police services, and so would our desperate families that have fallen victim. As you know, they trick with the subprime scams. A mortgage broker would come to your house, and particularly targeting soldier families, by the way, as reported by MSNBC. Go to a soldier's family and say, listen, do you want to lower your costs on your mortgage? Yeah, that's a tough time making payments, yeah? Well, we'll lower it. Sign this, thank you, bye. And then in 6 months, their rates double or triple, and they lose their property. And nobody's there to defend these falling soldier families. Why is this so? It's because justice is not ruling our ways, as it's declared in the Constitution, as it's declared by just simple reason to understand we want to follow the crime scene leads at the real murder scene. A lot of people don't want to do that because it requires good policing skills. It requires good communication skills. It requires prosecutors committed to defending the American way. But I heard on Glenn Beck, of all places, yesterday that attorney generals in the United States are forbidden from investigating congressmen. I had no idea that was actually so-called legal in your country. Are you aware of that at all? Or?
Well, based on the source that you quoted, I would question it.
Perhaps. But that seems, because as you're aware, with Baxter being the manufacturer of H1N1, we have a woman at, her site name, unfortunately, is birdflu666.wordpress.com. She's filed formal charges, or tried to, through the FBI. And the FBI actually has to now formally investigate the fact that Baxter, apparently, I don't know, they're trying to commit genocide, I guess. They were caught trying to kill all these people in Austria. The Austrian police services are investigating, and the FBI is supposed to be investigating, too. But we got to support any officer out there who wants to defend the American family from these inoculations. From all science understood, are only going to cause us grievous harm and probably death, too. But these bad guys think they're going to escape. I don't think so. I think we're going to triumph because there's rights that we all share equitably. We can argue about all kinds of things, but capital murderers have to be brought down by the full extent of the laws of which we share committed to justice and freedom for all. Yep. Right, thanks for taking my call, Robbie. Love your show. Love John. Love everybody. It's too bad about everything else. But
all right.
Take care.
Thanks, brother. Take a break. We'll be back.
Let's take this call. Let's go to John in Canada. John, you're on with Michael and Jeffrey. Go ahead. You got a question?
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Yeah, I wanted to comment on the plane miraculously flying itself into the building. There's a physicist who's put out a video that, a couple of years ago almost now. It's called 9/11 Impossible Speed and Impact. And he talks about the tensile strength of aluminum that's used in the airline industry. And there's all kinds of – it sort of doesn't make sense, but it does make sense if we look at hurricanes. Pieces of straw can be thrown right into a tree, deeply into a tree. A piece of straw.
If I could just stop you right there, that's the National Oceanic Almanac gives a reason why that happens. When a piece of straw gets wedged into a tree or something like that, is because it bends and the pores open up and the straw goes in. It's not because it was able to penetrate it.
Well,
so
thanks.
That's one thing that a lot of people refer to when they say, well, how could a less solid, harder, denser object cut through, you know, the steel and concrete? How can you have an aluminum plane being able to penetrate the steel and concrete? Well, the straw argument is a straw argument. It's no good because there is an actual explanation for it.
Well, there is a physics. There is a science to it, and it's a measurable scientific thing. I can't remember what the equation is, but he works it out. Like it depends on velocity, and there's planks of wood will fly into trees. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. But listen to this. Here's the biggest thing. No matter who did it, we're going to have to get the cops on the case to arrest the actual evildoers. Bush immediately closed investigations, according to the FBI and Senator Daschle. Bush and Cheney immediately worked to close outstanding criminal investigations. Now, it's true. During Clinton's tenure, he did the same thing also. He told the FBI with his directive, W199I, do not pursue al-Qaeda investigations. You're not allowed to. That would be against the law. Bush did similarly the same. So no matter who it is and whatever we figure is going on, we can't get anywhere until the cops are brought back to the case. And as you're probably both aware, if you contact the FBI, they say there's no case. Well, they have no evidence that Bin Laden played a part in 9/11. You know,
right.
We don't have anybody associated to the crime going down because Bush the traitor obstructed justice for ourselves. He's as guilty as anybody involved in this terrorist strike because he doesn't want to apprehend the actual evildoers. Psychologically, we can't deal with it, unfortunately, yet, and we go on to other subjects. Whoever did it is getting away. And if we follow what the FBI has measured thus far, the good guys there, hopefully there are, of course there are some, you know, they say it was financed by General Mahmoud Ahmad. You either go wire transfer from him to Muhammad Atta. So we got to arrest him, but no, he's not arrested. He gets to walk free on our plane, and that's a mistake. And then Bush says, we're either with him or with the terrorists. No, you'd be one of the evilest people of our entire recorded history to say such madness, of which he did, and we're lost still, apparently. We still don't have it together to go, look, we need cops on this no matter what.
Well,
John,
I agree with you. Let me insert something here. But when George Bush got up on behind the podium and said, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists, the American people were under the assumption that Bush was with us. But George Bush never defined, when he made that statement, he never defined who us was. When he was talking about us, he was talking about the elites with the agenda, but the American people didn't know that. Okay, and yes, you're right, John. You know, we need to turn the authorities loose on this, but we have to find who the authorities are, who the good ones are. There has to be an international, non-biased investigation of this to expose the culprits. Will that ever happen? That's anybody's guess. But, you know, I do appreciate your input there. Jeff, did you have any comments on it?
Well, I would like to think that the investigation has been going on by your average everyday people all over the internet for the past several years. Like we've come to gather up enough evidence that the official story is not possibly true. With the limited resources that anybody has, is, you know, without having any inside authority to do anything. I mean, there, people all over the world have gathered enough evidence to show that the official story is not true. Now we need somebody with higher authority to take it upon themselves and actually find out what happened. When he mentions talking about to the FBI and stuff like that, like, I've even called the FBI, I've called CSIS in Canada, I've called MI5, I've called them all. You know, they hang up on me when I try and present them with any information. And it's pretty discouraging to think that all the intelligence agencies in the world and everybody across the globe with any authority to do anything about it thinks it's a ridiculous conspiracy theory.
Well, I'd like to add one thing there. I myself have spoken to the National Security Branch of Canada, the RCMP division, to some of the most powerful people there and members of the Secret Service in the United States of America at great lengths about this evidence. And some of the guys are aware of it. It's just that we don't have leadership. They're not all bad, just like cops. You know, we know some cops are good guys. We just don't have the leadership because Bush is obstructing ourselves. If we're going to get anywhere, we've got to get our cops on the scene. I've given affidavits in court cases regarding this direct evidence of Bush closing investigations, it being funded by Mahmoud Ahmad, and that we have video of liquefied iron flowing from the towers like water. This indicates thermite was placed in the buildings, including photographs of the beams cut at 45-degree angles, which is precisely how thermite cuts through steel.
John, let me stop you. We've got to take a break. I'll hold you. You can finish your comment if you want. We'll be back at 3. Michael Herzog, sure. With Jeffrey Hill from Canada, pumpitout.com. See you in a few, folks. There's more to come. All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening, and my special guest, Jeffrey Hill, pumpitout.com, and we've still got John in Canada on. John, did you want to finish your comment before I let you go?
Sure. I think this discussion, like I say, is really important. It's just that we need leadership, and there are honorable officers. Like, I've submitted to court cases up to several cases that were constitutional challenges. I was arrested for threatening Bush, but as a consequence of defending myself, I was able to bring forward publicly all the evidence against the demon. And I don't go to prison. I'm a free man here in Canada because that's the case, you know. And most of these cops are fearful, like many of the recorded conversations that we've been listening to. These guys are terrified. Remember, these guys commit mass murder. They like to kill innocent people and steal our values of justice and liberty for all. They don't want that because they have no true talent, no skill. All they can do is threaten us with indiscriminate murder. So we got to get the honorable men together of humanity and demand they be arrested. And we start with Bush because he closed investigations, you know, and everything else. Like I said, lastly, as your guest said, he says there's no dispute. The planes, well, we have a 9/11 impossible speed and impact busted, updated is on YouTube. Your guest could commit comments to that threat. Nobody can dispute this stuff because it's science. It looks odd that they do mysteriously fly into the building, but if they're going that fast and they weigh that much, and the tensile molecular structure of this specially designed aluminum, which is very, very strong, hits it at that speed, the science does say it'll travel through steel up to so much, and then it'll, you know, like as we witnessed, it explode. So there is an argument to be made there, is all I'm getting at. But otherwise, everything is awesome. And we got to trust the truth will bring us the light we deserve, and freedom will reign once again. Okay.
Hey, thanks for the call, and I'm right on the same page with you. That's what we're doing here, trying to bring the truth out. Thanks for the call, John.
Holding John. Thanks for staying up late. Welcome.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, I wanted to comment on your quoting the comparisons of satanic ritual to Jewish scripture. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that a lot of people aren't aware of. There are Oriental Jews. There are the oldest Jews that we know of in history live in Ethiopia, and of course they're all black.
Let me back up just a quick second. We'll clarify. I wouldn't call the Talmud or the Kabbalah Jewish scripture.
All right. Okay. Well,
that's Babylonian mystery religion stuff.
Yeah, like I
that masquerades as
right. And I mean, that's
Jewish.
Right. That's what I feel that that's the whole problem. When we blame Jews for the crimes of criminals, we serve their interest in not apprehending the actual evildoers. An example is Netanyahu was in Winnipeg, and he gave a speech about what the difference between him and a terrorist is. And he said the difference is we don't attack civilians when we go to war. We attack military targets. And
you know, it's obscene. They broke the truce with Gaza and indiscriminately slaughtered anybody they could see on the streets, including...
There's a lot more to that story. Stick around, folks. Be right back. Getting back to your point, John, you, in your point and the agreement that was broken, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is the Balfour Declaration, and like Carol Quigley pointed out, obviously not even authored by Balfour, but you know, it was a one-page statement, not authored by Arthur James Balfour, if I can speak, but. You know, the statement was, I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object. And here's the key, which, you know, gets to your point, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. And
yeah, well,
you look at the statement, you know, that was 1917, obviously authored long before that, as Quigley pointed out, but 1917, and has that happened? In your opinion, has that statement been honored?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's their continuing history. What they do is they pirate the will of God. If you were to ask Netanyahu, after he gives you the definition of who a terrorist is, would you say, and asking Netanyahu, is that an ungodly person, this terrorist you're speaking of? And he would say, yes, this is a terrible, evil person. And they admit to targeting Christian children. They knew the GPS locations of where children were located, that they had received from the UN, and murdered all those little kids. And then when the UN asked them, well, why did you murder these kids? They said, well, they were trying to kill Jews from that location. And then the UN said, what's your evidence? And then they hemmed and hawed for a couple of days, and then they came forward and said, we just made that up. They kill kids. This is what the nature of being satanic is. You know, he is ungodly. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Jewish scripture. They don't believe in treating another equitably. No, they steal people's homes on a daily basis.
This gets back to my point.
Right.
This is exactly my point. This is my point in pointing to Makow's book, because I think he does a good job of saying that most people that would call themselves, for example, Orthodox Jews or assimilated Jews, et cetera, are not acquainted with things like the Talmud, the Kabbalah, and some of this, you know, Eastern mysticism, Babylonian mystery religion, this kind of stuff. But what you're talking about gets right into that, and also into this international banking cabal and some of the elements of that, you know, stealing homes and things like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Those are parts of the banking cabal that have been revealed over the decades and centuries as both an overt and a covert plan. But those are not particularly what people will call Jewish aspirations. You know, that's something that clothes itself or masks itself like a wolf in sheep's clothing. That was the point I was trying to make.
Okay, I think I hear where you're coming from, I think. But I guess my point is that they're clearly ungodly, and all we need is free words. We just need free words to say, look, you've said that a terrorist is a person who attacks civilians. That's exactly what you've done. You would claim you're an ungodly, evil person, stealing the title of Jew from God or from Christ. Let's remember that Christ is considered the King of Jews, or at least a Jew, okay? Some people say, well, it's mocking, whatever. He's supposed to be a Jew. So when we say the Jews did it, the Jews did this, the Jews did that, well, you're calling all these Oriental Jews a bad guy. You're calling all the black guys bad
guys. Exactly. Now, this is like saying, you know, I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu speaks for everyone who, you know, associates themselves with that term. I've gone through, you know, are you talking about a religious affiliation? Are you talking about a political affiliation? Are you talking about a paternal affiliation? Because those are distinct, those are each distinctly different. And, you know, to generalize, the problem we wind up with is it's like saying, you know, that all Italians were responsible for Benito Mussolini's fascism, which I think is a point that you're making, and if that's what you're saying.
But, Yeah, but they used religion, though. I mean, this is the problem, you know. Like, Hillel, the founder of the religion, says, look, there's only one thing you got to do. Everything else is just commentary. One thing, you know, treat the other person fairly. But they, again, every single day, you've got to see this on video, where they steal an innocent man's home at gunpoint. You can't have the toys under your Christmas tree. You can't have the food in your fridge. They're going to send you off to live in a concentration death camp where you're going to be deprived medical aid, food, and water. In fact, they're going to poison your water. They're going to poison your food. They are the most evil, sickest people ever grouped together.
Yeah, when
under,
you say
under
they,
a man-
who are you speaking of specifically?
Well, that's the problem. How is it that the political machinations that take place in Israel can be as considered by Netanyahu himself to be ungodly and terrorist in nature?
Oh,
why?
But like I said, listen, Makow does a great job of pointing out in his book that not you, but I and the folks that live just south of the border from you are all culpable in war crimes in Iraq, for example, in Afghanistan and Pakistan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because of our tax dollars.
Yeah. Oh, especially giving money through APAC kickbacks. You know, you get money blindly.
However, that does not mean that the 25 people that you would point to that most people call neoconservatives that authored certain documents that we all point to as, you know, their culpability in 9/11, we wouldn't affiliate ourselves with those people. As those people, as part of the alliance that you're talking about. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a separation there.
Well,
yes, we are culpable, but we don't associate with those people. However, generally, yes, you could say we're guilty.
Yeah,
because
well,
we're supporting and funding their machinations, as you put it.
Yeah, well, in a free society where justice rules our day, AIPAC members would all be arrested right now for accessories to first-degree mass murder. They indiscriminately they killed 239 police officers who are only accused of trying to defend our communities. They don't say that they committed any criminal offense. Again, they target kids for murder. They used life fosters all over these innocent victims. AIPAC members know this. They know that they started the conflict as they confessed to it.
I have one question.
Yeah.
One question. Who uses more white phosphorus than anyone else in the entire world?
Oh, I don't know. Probably the American military.
United States military.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And we have laws on the books that say these soldiers who on videotape, I've seen at least 1,000 videos of them just randomly mowing down little kids, mowing down women, mowing down men who they claim, oh, that guy in Afghanistan, he's carrying a gun. We get to murder him. And they get all excited. They're practically masturbating on videotape. And all these soldiers are enemies of America because they don't support pursuing the crime scene leads at the real murder scenes, such as 9/11. Go after General Ahmad. Why don't you throw a 2,000-pound bomb on General Ahmad? They're cowards. They're all cowards.
It's an interesting discussion. If we get back to the Constitution, the Constitution says specifically how military is to operate, how long they're to be funded, and those kinds of things. However, we have an administrative monolith that operates outside the Constitution in this country, and therefore you could argue those soldiers are serving the war machine that they've been hired by or contracted by, and that's the thing that's conquering the world.
Watada is a great example because he says, look, I've given an oath to God and country. I can't willfully commit a criminal act against an innocent other. He went to court. The Bush mob wanted to put him in prison. The judge says, I want to make a formal declaration. It's a criminal offense to refuse a criminal order. And that was Judge John Head. Well, Judge John Head just barely escaped a death sentence himself just for doing that, just for being that evil. It's obviously you're being an evil enemy because Watada is correct. It's a criminal offense to indiscriminately murder these people, which you have no justification. They're not guilty of anything. Bush mobsters knew there was no WMDs, according to the CIA. The CIA said, hey, look, there's no reason to go to war against Iraq. Walk the soldiers in there as inspectors if you have to. There's no WMDs here. Bush doctored those documents, the National Intelligence Estimate. Kucinich brought it forward as a reason to impeach him and have him formally executed or rot the rest of his life behind bars. Americans... Yeah, Kucinich, he's a left-winger, he's a socialist, he's a commie. Those are the facts to the case, and it's your son and daughter who die as a consequence of not speaking out for the same principles Kucinich cherishes as a true patriot warrior who articulates this stuff for anybody to arrive to the exact same conclusion. They doctored the National Intelligence Estimate. They conned Congress. They conned your child. So they need to be arrested. And like you say, whose responsibility is that? It's the responsibility of the American people to demand justice for themselves. People go, one person can't make a difference? Yeah, you can. You have to make
a
difference.
Wait a second.
Sure.
Someone who says that one person can't make a difference should have reminded Hitler of that. But anyone else.
I heard that actually yesterday.
Mussolini. You make great points. I don't know that I would go that far with Kucinich, and it wasn't Bush himself the doctor. In fact, you know, the CIA is great at playing theater. Anyway,
we
don't want to
show the White House.
We're going to have to get back on track. I appreciate the points.
Yes, it was the White House that doctored the documents, for sure. It's either Bush, Cheney, or Wolf. Those are the only three individuals who could have committed that criminal act, of which it's never even present on the radio or TV. You guys don't even talk about it. It's the Bush closed investigations on 9/11 immediately.
There you go, generalizing again. You guys.
No, Bush personally. Bush personally.
I keep pointing out the fact that if we keep driving in the rearview mirror all the time, we're going to keep running into the same ditch. That's
what justice
the reason
is.
I know.
Accountability. Justice is accountability. You have to hold
absolutely
people accountable. And so if Bush stops police officers from arresting the actual culprits for 9/11, he's obstructing justice. He needs to be arrested for that crime alone. If whoever did it, say it's the Muslims or the Jews or whoever, if you want to arrest anybody for the criminal offense, you're going to have to get our cops on the scene. And
well,
Bush said no cops.
Not necessarily a religious or a political affiliation that makes them culpable, and that's my point.
Right, exactly.
So anyway,
and I'm
appreciate
on
the
that
call, John.
Okay,
appreciate
thanks,
the call.
Okay.
You bet. Great points. You know, it's a sticky thing. I mean, it's great points.
I mean, what can I tell you? My God, now we do have phone calls. Oh, my board was not lit up here. Okay, all right. That's good. That's good news. Good job, Tony. Anyway, we have the great job, Tony. We have the great John from Canada calling in, and I apologize. I did not see you on the board there. John from Canada, what's on your mind, sir?
Gentlemen, another great day to battle evil, particularly today. There's all kinds of horrific news items. The one that just came out a few minutes ago is that the World Health Organization is recommending that 197 countries mandatorily inject our children with their miracle cure for a virus that was militarily manufactured, according to the patent holders, Baxter. Dr. Truot last Friday discovered that Novartis holds the patent on this miracle cure, this vaccine, that contains the highest amounts of squalene ever measured, as definitely going to kill our most strongest, and the mercury's in there too with the aluminum. The ingredients list is diabolically evil beyond imaginations, and it's incredible that people would have such an intent to harm us this way. But they're saying, you know, you're going to have to take this. And remember, they're alleging that this bird swine military concoction is contagious and deadly. And they said at least 800 people have died so far. They're expecting 200,000 Americans to die from this terrible concoction that was, again, manufactured by two scientists at Baxter. I want people to understand that there are basic principles of reason that apply to all of us as sentient, unique individuals who have just as much a right as anyone else to speak in outrage against this terrible criminal offense that they're about to perpetrate, and realize that they're guilty of murder. They hold the patent to what has caused the irreparable suffering and deaths of at least 800 plus people. Then you're guilty of murder. But no, they say, no, we're not the murderers. We're here to help you. Well, no, you've just killed these people. Your questions about the police officers, you know what the problem is? We're failing to understand that these police officers are in of our communities. There was a man, a so-called police officer, off duty. I might have told you this guy last week, but he's off duty. He saw a guy in a Speedo and got into an altercation with him, pulled out his gun and shot him multiple times in the chest, killed him on the scene. And I think it's in Minnesota. Nobody in Minnesota, in the police department or in the political leadership, demands his arrest. He's just, they suspended him temporarily, and we'll see when we get to the bottom of the facts regarding this case. No, he needs to be arrested for murder. Now, he might be found innocent in a court of law, but there's no probable cause to shoot a man who has a Speedo. He's, and then allegedly from the witnesses that were there at the scene, as soon as he pulled out his gun, the suspect raised his hands immediately.
to say, hey, man, don't shoot me. And then his brother and his friend and the girl and everybody else is saying, look, if he really needed to shoot this person, this innocent man in the chest, why not just shoot him in the lake? Why do you have to kill them?
And then
so he's being unarrested.
Now, John.
So that's the problem. And then.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, you make great points. I mean, starting off with the swine flu, there goes the phone delay. What are you going to do? Sorry about that, John. I have to deal with it. Got to preempt these things. No, but it's true. I mean, but just starting off with the swine flu, and I'm not sure if you heard our show yesterday. I know Ben called in, and even the show before that. I mean, this is not just what I thought it was going to be, and I was wrong. I actually thought that we were just going to kind of have this just to take the temperature of people, of the population, to see if they would accept it. But now you're right. They're talking not only mass vaccines, but they're talking about targeting pregnant women and children first. This vaccine is not even tested. There's already millions of them manufactured. Hasn't even been through the FDA testing. And really quickly, before I let you continue, John, we have a break coming up soon, too, but we had Phil, one of our great fans and friends, Phil, email us a letter written by Miss Carol Jean Madura. It's kind of something you can go to our website on our Delicious Act. It's called Warning of Dangerous Risks Associated with Swine Flu Vaccines, and it's a quick email, one-page email with several links to back up what this thing is, how it hasn't been tested, problems in the past, and what we see for the future. And it's Miss Sam Simpson, I believe, actually wrote it. I wanted to make sure it was forwarded by Carol Jean. But so go to our website. You can actually cut and paste that right into her email program. But, John, really quickly, 15 seconds, finish up.
Well, you know, don't forget that they give mental aptitude tests to every new recruit, and if you're above average IQ, you're out of there. This is a demonic, evil force that wants to undermine our pursuit of justice, that doesn't want to arrest those responsible for 9/11. That's what we got to do. I love your idea where, well, I'm sort of libertarian, but there's no party out there that holds all my beliefs. That's what we need. Each issue is an issue by itself. Who cares about what team we're on?
I agree.
We got to root for the team of freedom for everyone.
I agree 110%. Thank you, John. I'm so glad at least other people.
Bless you, John. Bless you.
They're just glad other people think that way, too. Stay tuned. We're going to take Mike from Alabama. Great call, John, the info bomber, as always, from Canada. Mike in Alabama, you're up next, and then we go Power 7. Stay tuned.
But we do have a few callers in the queue, so I want to go directly to those calls now. First off, we have John from Canada. John, welcome to the program tonight, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, Rob. Well, I wanted to bring up some huge revelations that have just been made public today, I guess, regarding vaccines. But I'll just very quickly comment on this overpopulation argument. It's been around for a great many decades. There's a woman who wrote a book, Susan Day, her name was, and the title of the book is How the Other Half Dies. And I'm pretty sure it's every 8 years, they have an international food conference of which most industrialized countries participate in public discussions. And I think the last time they had it was in Germany. I apologize for not remembering exactly what the title is. But including her book, and every time they have this conference, they always come to the same conclusions. There's plenty of food. 78% of every nation that suffers from starvation starvation has food surpluses. It's that there's so much corruption everywhere we look that they beat us down and deprive us an opportunity to move forward. And India, I remember through my 9/11 investigations, Enron spent $10 billion building a power plant there, for example. They figured, well, here's a good market. All these people are doing telephone soliciting in America, pretending they're Canadians or whatever it is. cash they can pay for electricity. And they spent $10 billion on it, and then the Indian government says, well, we don't want to buy any energy from you because to burn coal is cheaper than what you want to charge us. But Enron, well, we'll just bribe some government officials. We'll beat you people down and force Enron's motivations have nothing to do with helping people. It's mostly to do with exploiting our inabilities to manage ourselves effectively, and that's what's generally going on in most countries, is that they're either military dictatorships or quasi democracy kind of places, Uzbekistan, where they just gun people down if you complain about anything, or Saudi Arabia, where you're persecuted for being a Christian. That's what our society is. So many of our governments are corrupted and hold no interest in helping starving people survive, including our situation with Afghanistan. Right after 9/11, Bush stole all the emergency food that was destined to help these people who were actually starving to death. There are people actually starving to death in Afghanistan just after 9/11. and before they even started bombing, the very first thing to do is steal all their food. And in Iraq, of course, the oil for food program was feeding every single citizen for less than 50 cents a day. They had to destroy that. You can't have these people having clean water and good food coming their way. So we've got to destroy this. And that's
right. And they also, John, they also, the last part of the program they did, the bombing campaigns they did in the first Gulf War, they specifically went after water treatment facilities. That's when they hit the dry milk plant. Yeah, they actually went after ways of, you know, sustaining life. And once you take that away from them, people become desperate, and then they become so desperate that they become either marginalized and not a factor anymore, or they become reliant on your government, your policies, and, you know, your machinations. So if you look at India as well, they've even adopted our homeland security policy as of recently. So you want to talk about hopping on the New World Order train, India is definitely on the train.
Yeah, so that's predominantly what happens in most of our countries. You know, people in government take cash bribes to undermine the interests of the public, like the World Health Organization, the Bank has done for 50 years. You know, they'll willingly murder millions, they knew that they were just going to indiscriminately murder people in India through a dam they were building, served no better good for anybody, except for the banker who was at the World Bank, who bought the land there, was going to have a sugarcane factory, displace hundreds of thousands of people, totally flood out villages, and that's exactly what they did. You know, all these people don't get reimbursed. Their businesses, cars, and churches, and a whole civilization just wiped out by the World Bank.
In Africa, there was a community that they were showing where the Firestone rubber tree plant factory was in order for them to harvest all their rubber to make tires, you know, for all the tires they make. That's what their product is in Firestone. And it just showed, like, how basically it was through a system of, you know, getting the country to accept loans, getting that country to default on the loans, then the UN and the World Bank and the IMF comes in and starts rewriting all their different laws and export laws and import laws and, labor laws and set up free trade zones. And they basically just gave this huge, massive plot of property in Africa, in South Africa, to the Firestone Corporation. And then they just exploit those people. I mean, they literally have to work 18 to 20-hour days in order to fill their quotas. Nobody can continue working that long, so they pull their children out of school in order to fill their quotas. And these corporations are literally just destroying civilizations. And for what? They don't give a crap about anything but their tires and their profits and their image. And this is how the world's working, and this is how the world's turning into. That's what globalism is. That's how the New World Order wants to set this world up. So if you think you're a proponent or an advocate for world government, I can show you a much different version of world government than you've been shown. And it's disgusting. It's not one that I want to live in. Just thinking about tires, it always reminds me of poor people that have to give up their entire lives just so they can barely earn enough food. You know, they don't even have medicine. You know, don't have enough money for education. They barely just have enough money to live just, you know, for their food. And it's just pathetic. Who the hell said that the world should be set up this way? And that's the point of exposing the New World Order. But would you figure in that article I read, they were talking about instead of getting electricity to these people to get them televisions, they would come up with ways that these people could sustain their living, maybe by planting some kind of food or crop or manufacturing something, or putting the money towards that instead of just put the money towards electricity so these people get TVs.
Yeah, well, it requires more thought to do the intelligent thing. And the guy who's making the decision is almost guaranteed taking a cash bribe from somebody to keep your mouth shut and play dumb. And don't look for answers because they're much more complicated. Go with the tyranny and the debasement of human values, and you'll go far in this political structure as it is in almost even our countries are a mess, too. I mean, we've got problems also. The reason I phoned is I heard an incredible interview today by a Dr. Drew Ott, who discovered on Friday through his patent search is that Novartis has patented this pandemic influenza strain, H1N1 inoculation, in 2005. This is what the CDC is going to be forcing, almost guaranteed, likely, into the veins of American children, a vaccine that they developed in 2005 that is a vaccine for a virus that is reverse engineered, which means it's not a natural virus. This is a man-made concoction of the swine flu, bird flu, and a couple other poisons. But what's even worse is that Saloquine? I forgot that.
Squalene.
The virus. Squalene, yeah. He's saying that the levels of squalene are the highest that's ever been present in any vaccine, and this will cause the stronger members of our society to have their immune systems attack their own bodies and cause a condition where all your killer T cells will attack your healthy cells and cause them to burst, causing potential death. Now, this is purposefully in there. And the science of vaccines, we do not have this down. I mean, we have theories. You know, they have an antigen that they put into the vaccine. Now, this is supposed to be a disabled aspect or a disabled virus. It's supposedly harmless to you, but your body develops antibodies due to the consequence of it flowing through your bloodstream. Mm-hmm. And the theory is, then therefore, you'll be immune from that particular strain of influenza. But we already know through this process that the so-called antigens can also have the same exact repercussions as the actual virus itself. So, you know, when people do get the influenza shots, many of them do contract the flu and get sick, and a very small percentage of people die.
Yeah.
Now, this is this deadly military-developed virus. I've learned earlier that there were two scientists at Baxter who hold the patent on creating this biological warfare weapon. They're arguing that 800 people have died so far, and that's why American children are going to be force inoculated. I'm saying arrest them for murder. They hold the patent as creator of this deadly military weaponized influenza strain, and no, we're not buying the antidote from you. You're going to be arrested for first-degree mass murder. I mean, they're alleging that these people have died from something they've created themselves. So we have a problem in communicating. There's an interesting woman named Catherine Austin Fitz who came from the first Bush administration, who's put forward the reason they're doing this to try to escape with the $24 trillion. They're trying to destabilize our society.
I absolutely love Catherine Austin Fitz. Hey, John, stay right there, man. I want to finish up on this, and I want to take another phone call. We have patiently waiting. We'll be back after this break to finish up with John. All right, we also have John on the line right now from Canada. He's making some excellent points. He's kind of freaking me out right now, too, because he's talking about basically an inoculation, a vaccine created back years before the actual virus itself reared its ugly head. And we all know, we've heard many, many different people speaking on how this has to be a man-made virus. There's no way this thing can naturally occur. And then also, why I'm not taking a vaccine is because what's in the vaccine, we talked about the new presence and use of squalene in new vaccinations, which has been proven to be extremely dangerous to people, not to be used in human consumption anymore, banned. Somehow it's making a comeback. And then also its efficacy as well. They're just not efficient. I've read a lot of different studies and looking at a lot of different data that shows that there's a very small percentage of people who even get protected anyway. They even showed elderly and children being a very, very small protection. They said 30% from children aged 3 to adolescents, 30% against that particular strain of flu with that particular vaccination. In adults, it was much worse. It was 6% in a healthy adult, and it was even less than an elderly adults for its efficiency. So anyway, John, please continue. We got another phone call too, so we can't spend too much more time. We'll have to wrap this up. And excellent points.
Great. I'll just make it real quick. Well, we got to realize how many organizations are out there who have autistic children have said mercury is a neurotoxic heavy metal that it causes irreversible brain damage 100% of the time. That's not a liberal ideology. That's the science as understood. The CDC, after being informed by the Pediatrics Association about a study they did in 2008 showing there's no benefit to inoculating children with influenza because there's no measurable benefit. You know, it's the Pediatrics Association, they don't care. The CDC's, we're targeting your children firstly. They don't care what the science is. An attack is underway here. Drew Ott, as I say, like, not only has he talked about the fact that there's also mercury included directly in these vaccines. This is part of the ingredients. So they know that there's all these concerns for it, but they're going to put the mercury in there too. It's going to cause your child 100% guaranteed irreparable brain damage. But also, he talked about them including attenuated virus strains, which means they're actually live viruses inside this vaccine. We do not understand the science well enough to be playing games like this. All I know for sure is they're threatening our lives in this manner. Catherine Austin Fitz has put it down to the bankers. The bankers know that if free communications rule, and a man like me can inform people that the bankers never cover our loans, bailing them out is irrational, and they're walking away with $24 trillion, people will want their money back. They'll want to arrest these people. Some of them are trillionaires who've never done a good for any of us. You know, they live in 50,000-square-foot Italian marble mansions. So I'm with Catherine Austin Fitz on there. I think that the motivations here are the bankster defrauders. But whatever the motive is, they're actually for real doing this. So I encourage everybody to pay attention and look up this stuff up for yourself. Drew Ott, again, he just discovered this patent on Friday, and it clearly indicates they've had this plan since 2005, the exact same time that Bush signed a declaration to the World Health Organization stating that they will decide and dictate whether your child is forcibly inoculated by gunpoint. So look it up. I'm going to miss you, Rob, but as you say, you're going to be in good hands, or your shoulder will be in good hands. So I'm looking forward to hearing you when you come back. So take care, bud. I'll talk to you again.
Awesome, John. Thank you so much, man. And once again, great points. Yeah, you know, you talked about, there's live viruses in the vaccine. I heard that from Alex Jones to start. He used to always say that, there's live cancer viruses in the vaccines, folks. And I'd be like, what? Where'd you get that from, Alex? I can't find where he got that information from. Oh, and I came across a documentary, and one of the original researchers of vaccine, a gentleman who was lauded as just an amazing, making amazing advances in vaccinations, was speaking off the record and was just talking about how concerned he was that these people were deliberately messing with different viruses, and they were putting all these different monkeys together in the same holding cells, and they damn well knew that these monkeys would spread diseases and probably cause a super mutated virus that they're not going to know how to deal with because, you know, it's new. And that they were just messing around, it looked like, on purpose to him. And then he talked about the live cancer viruses in the vaccine that he himself witnessed and was very concerned about, yet nobody did anything about. And to his knowledge, nothing had been changed on that policy. And there you have it, an actual man who worked on vaccinations telling you, yeah, absolutely, I saw live cancer viruses in the vaccine. And you should see the tests these vaccines had on animals. You would never put them into human consumption. But yet, here we are, you know, using them like they're just a matter of fact, like you're an idiot if you don't use one. My pediatrician, for my son, he told me, nope, I'm no longer your son's doctor. You have 6 months to find a new pediatrician. Why? Because you don't vaccinate your son, and I feel that basically you're a moron. He didn't quite say it like that, but anyway, let's go to the phone.
It's bills. That's when it all comes crashing down. I think that day is upon us very, very soon. We're going to go to the phones. John in Canada. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike. I wanted to talk just briefly about the H1N1, but I'd touch upon what you were talking about regarding the market. You know, it's as I think I've talked to you about before. No, I know I have. The hedge fund market is very similar. And I think I'm really hoping we'll get what you're dreaming, and we're going to get to the bottom of this, and people are going to understand they have a totally unfair position against every single honest person, so-called, that participates. You know, they have a better opportunity to extract our investments than everybody else does. Similarly, with hedge fund managers, you need a special license. You don't have a special license, you don't get a free check for $25 million each year here in Canada. In the States, you know, trillions. Some of these guys are trillionaires just because they have a computer program locked into the stock market that nobody else can do unless you have that, you know, that special banker license. The virus has
political.
Pardon me?
Political poll.
Yeah, yeah. And so I hope that what you're saying, that these congressional hearings, they'll start talking about, well, yeah, that seems very unfair. And then hopefully somebody will stick their hand up. And hedge fund managers, too. They're trillionaires living in 50,000-square-foot Italian marble mansions. Haven't done a thing for any of us. Not a benefited a good or service, just a nickel and doomed us all to our demise because we now owe them.
Well, basically, let me tell you what's going on here. And we're almost to the end of this segment, so I'm going to have to ask you to sit through the commercials and join us in the next segment.
Sure.
But the reason these people were getting very rich, when the real estate market was going up and there was just tons of money flowing, they turned Wall Street into a giant open-air casino. These hedge fund managers are the guys who won the long shot. All right, we're going to take a break, have some commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. Erica, welcome back to our show. We've got John from Canada on the phone here. We're talking about the sudden interest by the federal government on the high-frequency program trading practices of Goldman Sachs and certain other selected favored brokerages. What may be happening here right now is it is clear at this point that the federal government cannot fix the economy. They have spent vast sums of our money throwing it at Wall Street, and Wall Street has paid themselves huge bonuses, and they're putting it all in their pocket. But it hasn't brought back manufacturing. It hasn't brought back the high-paying jobs that we, the working and middle-class America, need to be able to pay off our bills. And it's a failure. The economic recovery is a complete failure. So now, politics being the creature that it is, everybody is looking for somebody to blame. And you've got this group of people pointing fingers at the Federal Reserve and saying it's time to shut the Federal Reserve down. I'm one of those. The Federal Reserve is pointing fingers and saying, no, 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 Congress did it. It's their failed policy. And now Congress is trying to find somebody they can dump the blame on, and it's going to be the high-frequency program traders. Now,
yeah.
Who Goldman Sachs is going to turn around and blame for it, I don't know. But the blame-shifting regatta is under full sail right now, and everybody's jockeying for position along those ley lines.
Yeah, for sure. I don't.
So,
but it's blame, and also, in my mind, it's also escape. You might be familiar with Catherine Austin Fitz. Have you heard from her writing as of late? Well, she was housing somebody or another during the first Bush administration. She's an investment banker, so she's very wealthy and powerful in the political circles. And she's come forward to say that this $24 trillion she's put the $24 trillion together with this vaccine. And she's saying the reason they're doing this is to escape. They don't want people to understand that giving them all this money makes no sense. And she's an investment banker, okay? She's, like, right in there.
Mm-hmm.
Says giving all this money to them makes no sense, and they're trying to, you know, she might be a little crazy, or people might go, oh, that's crazy. But she's alleging that they just might be trying to commit some form of trying to destabilize our entire civil society into some kind of chaotic anarchy where mercenaries rule our world. Exactly why I called, today I heard a doctor, Drew Ott, speak, and he was incredible. He spoke for an hour today on one of your competing radio stations there, Republican something or another, and he was saying that he just discovered on Friday that Novartis has a patent or filed a patent for their vaccine in 2005, and this was the same time that Bush said the World Health Organization is going to determine whether Americans will be vaccinated mandatorily at the end of a gun. The CDC, of course, as you might, I got most of this information from your website, by the way, but CDC, a few days, maybe last week or whatever, as you might recall, has advised that, children are our first strike targets regarding this vaccine that contains the highest amounts of squalene ever produced inside a vial of vaccine, contains mercury, which is a neurotoxic heavy metal, 100% of the time, guaranteed it's going to cause your child irreparable brain damage, not a left-wing liberal socialist view. That's the science as understood. But what's even more horrific is that this virus is also a military, or so it, I don't have all the details down, but it's a variant of bird flu, swine flu, and some other combinations put together in no other way but through the military.
John.
Yeah.
Got to calm down and take a few deep breaths because you're going so fast. You got to slow down.
Okay.
And there are many very tasty decaffeinated brands that you can choose from.
Yeah, well, it's
got to just slow down a little bit. Now, I want to respond to some of the things you said.
Okay.
The so-called swine flu vaccine, when it first broke out in Mexico, they were admitting openly on the corporate media that it was a hybrid of bird flu derived from the 1918 strain, two kinds of human flu virus, and a variation of the swine flu virus. And then when somebody, I think it was me, discovered records in the CDC where they were splicing exactly this kind of combination of viruses experimentally a couple of years ago, then all of a sudden the media came out and said, oh, no, it's just ordinary swine flu. And they started backing away from that. But, yes, it appears to be a manufactured virus, and more interesting, we're seeing that the guy who was in charge of putting together this synthetic reconstituted 1918 flu virus, then left his job at the lab that produced it and went to work in the private sector for one of these vaccine-making companies to make a vaccine to deal with the virus he had just finished creating.
Yeah.
So talk about taking off both ends of the situation. Now, as far as what is actually going on here, if the U.S. government is planning a depopulation program, it is not among the American people themselves, I don't think, because the American people, for the most part, are still useful to the U.S. government. We can be put in factories and prison camps and made to pound out boots and belt buckles for the soldiers. Every time the U.S. has talked about depopulation, it's always in somebody else's country. Those pesky third worlders who persist in using up the natural resources that the U.S. might eventually need in those far-flung corners of the planet.
I hear you. I mean, what could, you know, motive, everybody gets lost in motive. What could their motive be? I don't care. The fact that, well, I'm not saying I don't care. I mean, the motive is important, but what's critically important is we know what the biological effects of squalene and mercury are. We know antigen is, you know, they have the antigen for the virus that they inject into your veins on hopes that your body will develop antibodies to combat the influenza strain. But time and time again, these antigens, the science is not properly understood. So when you get your influenza shot, certain people get the flu. You end up getting the flu and get sick, and maybe you even die. Now,
yeah, and they're already talking about the new phrase. They used to call it collateral damage. Now they're calling it human wastage. We already know that they're bypassing all the normal safety measures and getting this vaccine done. We already know that some of the people in Great Britain who've been getting some of the Tamiflu ahead of time, they're starting to come down sick. Now, whether this is intentional or whether it's just people being stupid, we know that the U.S. as a whole sells crappy chemicals in the food and crappy chemicals in the pharmaceutical industry, and this is just more of the same. But I think it's being hyped as an issue because the U.S. government is desperate for anything that they can grab onto to look like they're the savior of the people. The economy is going downhill. The wars are going bad. Israel is telling us to invade Iran, and the U.S. government is saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. They're desperate for anything that they can grab onto to wave at the people and say, see, we're here to take care of you, and that's why you have to support us and go on giving us your tax money. And I think this swine flu is it. They're creating a crisis where one really is not there in order to remind us all why we need the government. Remember that wonderful scene, John Hurt in V for Vendetta, where, you know, where just before the end, he's up there on the monitor saying, I want the people to remember why they need us. And that's exactly what this is. The swine flu is a created crisis to convince the American people that we cannot live without big daddy government sticking needles in our arms.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't say, though, that there can never, ever be an effective decision that the government makes on behalf of ourselves as an impossibility. You're right. They can use this. But, again, motive is, as I say, antigens have been known far and wide to spread the very virus that we're trying to save ourselves from. And if this is a highly contagious disease, as they say, and lethal, it's going to kill us. And not only on top of that, even if their motive makes no sense and they're totally irrational and they have no science to back up their claims, it's still going to cause us grievous harm to the children that are being encouraged by the CDC to take this. Even with the fact that the Pediatric Association, the archive of the Pediatric Association, again off your website, indicates the study that they did in 2008 showing that children who get influenza vaccinations have no marketed or no measurable benefit from taking such inoculations. But
they go to the hospital just as often.
Yeah, and the other thing that the incredible Dr. Drew Ott has brought forward in his understandings just made this last Friday is they're also including attenuated virus strains inside this vaccine. Now, I'm not totally up on the science, but from what he's explained, this is actually live virus combinations inside the vaccine itself. You know, so the highest levels of squalene, which causes the strongest of the recipients to suffer the worst because it kicks your immune system into overdrive, and if you have a really strong immune system, it's going to attack the good cells of your body and cause them to burst, and then you die from some kind of could possibly die from.
What you're talking about is the edema, and this is the reason why, going back to the 1918 flu virus, it seemed to kill the healthiest members of our society, and that's exactly what happened. Because they were the healthiest, the virus provoked an extreme immune response. They suffered tremendous edema within the body. Their cells would rupture, and it was a hemorrhagic component.
Yeah. There's
John,
the motive.
We gotta let
yeah,
you,
there's the motive.
We,
get rid of the smart people.
We've got to let you go here,
right,
John.
Then.
We got to let you go here.
Okay, Mike.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
The squalene killed 15,000 of our soldiers when they gave them the anthrax vaccine with the squalene in it, and they put that, Baxter has put that in the serum for the vaccinations for the swine flu.
You know, since you're an officer and all, what do we do? Like, if this is going to force us, like, what do we do if there's a problem? He says, you better take this, otherwise, you know, like, and over threat of, like, if they have a gun over your head, I'm just wondering, what do you say to them? You know, what about
well,
the officer
you're going
the
to die.
Himself? What about his family? Is he going to have
yeah.
this?
Yeah, you're going to die if you take it, you know.
And you can
and
have
it'll
to stand
be a slow death. It'll be a slow death. Yeah, and so you just have to say no and go with the consequences of what happens to you, because
mm-hmm.
if you take the virus, like you say, the live virus in there in the squalene, you're going to die. And
I believe it.
My wife is still alive, but she's in very poor health from that squalene and the live viruses they had in the anthrax shots they gave our soldiers in 1991. And she's lost 15,000 of her fellow soldiers now, and many of them are crippled and in wheelchairs and are paraplegics right now. And praise God for a Christian family that took her in after 2 weeks after she got those shots. She was running 3 miles a day, and 2 weeks later she couldn't hardly walk. And she was in the military for 22 years, and they purposely tested this anthrax and squalene on the soldiers out there, and so they know that it's a poison, and they're putting that in the swine flu vaccine.
I wonder what's the bottom line. Why are they doing this? Are they satanic? I mean, are they just that greedy? They want the whole world to themselves. You just wonder why.
Yeah. This is the Antichrist.
What's the Antichrist.
Antichrist New World Order they're setting up, but they also have stated that they only want 500 million people alive on Earth to serve them as slaves, and they want to kill everybody else, and so Baxter is helping with that project.
This is far out, but what do you think about the take of that they're reptilian? I mean, I listen to Coast to Coast, and then you hear about people saying, well, oh, they're reptilian. They were here before we were.
They're not
reptilian. Do you just think they're plain old humans, but they're just satanic?
That's it. They worship Satan. They go to Bohemian Grove and sacrifice human babies there, and they're satanic. They truly are. Hang on, Kathy. We'll be right back. And God bless you, Kathy, and your family, and thank you for being an activist. Thank you so much. That's what it's all about. God told us to be activists. Psalms 94:16, read that. And that's right from the Lord. Let's go to Winnipeg, Canada, to John. Brother John, welcome to the Officer Jack McLam program.
Hi, Jack. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, with the case of Obama's birth certificate, you know, we'd much more easily get a secure conviction for charging him for things like extortion. The bankers don't cover our loans. Giving them money is irrational. It's called extortion. They say, look, if you don't give us the money, we're going to run you into the ground. That's called extortion.
Yeah.
And there's,
that's right.
You know, so we have to respect those who have the communicative skills to argue that as a fact without contention. You can't disagree with it. It's only in ignorance that people go, I don't know, man. Don't let that guy talk. He's making me sound dumb. Another thing you could charge him with is criminal negligence. Baxter, as according to Jane Burgermeister, an awesome woman for people to pursue, according to Jane Jane Burgermeister, she has the evidence, and it's also at a number of other websites, indicating that Baxter holds the patent as inventor of H1N1. They invented this vaccine. So you charge, or this virus, pardon me, so you charge them for murder. So, you know, they allege 800 people have died so far. They need to be charged for murder because they've been repeatedly caught giving out this virus. Vaccines not only contain what you've mentioned, the squalene, but they also, as the ingredients is available at Brents.com, contain mercury. Mercury is a horrific neurological toxin
that
causes brain damage. It's not a left-wing socialist liberal view. No, that's the scientific understanding of what the reality is. You know, so so you charge him with criminal negligence. The guy who comes to your door and insists that your child, who the CDC has told America, we're going to go after your American children. You know, you want to stand up for your kids or not? I guess not, because, look, they're saying they're going to go after your kids, okay? But the Pediatrics Association says there's no, and they did a big study in 2008 showing there's no benefit in giving a child an influenza vaccine. Because, actually, the science of influenza is understood, but there's nobody that I've heard in America speak on the issue as informed. I mean, it's a constantly mutating virus. The vaccine is what will kill us for sure. It's important,
right.
You know, so you can charge him right there. Who could argue against that? When Obama says he wants to incarcerate innocent people indefinitely without access to lawyers or a judge, that would be the crime of kidnapping. Nobody on earth could disagree with my statement, but for those who say, don't let him say that, don't let him say that, because it's true, and I can't, I'm too fearful of what reality means for those who want to defend these innocent people falling victim. It's false imprisonment. When you say the terrorist did the crime, but he can't speak in his own defense and we're closing the case, the actual perpetrators escaped scot-free. And this is what Bush did, according to the FBI and Senator Daschle. Bush and Cheney both worked to close outstanding 9/11 investigations immediately after the crime occurred. They're stealing your faith. They're saying, you go in faith. You're not going to form your own conclusions on who's good or evil. They're going to dictate to us who's good or evil. And if you don't like it, hey, you're off to a concentration camp yourself. We can defeat these demons. We can do it easily by just communicating these facts as indivisible truth that we all share equitably. Now, true, we're going to get into arguments on a lot of other issues. Like I heard you mention, like this is where I don't want to cause division among you and your listeners, but I'll tell you, I disagree with a lot of things that you've been saying. Healthcare in Canada, I can see a doctor in 10 minutes. I got 4 healthcare clinics within maybe a 5-block radius of where I live. I've had to see a doctor numerous times. There's no bill paid. We pay half as much per capita. So you're already paying twice as much as I do for healthcare. I get free access. You're expected to go out and buy insurance now. Why is that? Because we don't, in every other industrialized country but for the United States of America, we don't have middlemen. We don't have insurance guys pocketing 70% of the cash for themselves. Remember, they're not doctors. They're not nurses. In fact, as so dictated by the evidence trail, they don't care, give a rat's behind about your health. They'd rather see you die.
John, why is all the Canadians coming across the border for health care then in America? They've been doing it for 20 years now.
Look, I'm right here in Canada. I got 30 million people that will disagree with the propaganda. We're all affected by suggestion. We're all slightly under forms of hypnosis. Find out. How long does it take for me to see a doctor?
Actually, as a police officer in Phoenix, I actually talk to Canadians when I see their license plate. I would meet with them, and they would tell me they were down there for health care because their health care in Canada is so bad. Actually, these families would be down there in Arizona.
Yeah, so you're alleging I'm lying to you. You're alleging to your listeners this John guy is lying. He's living in Canada.
No.
I've seen a doctor. I know all kinds of people see doctors. I'm telling you, you're paying twice as much. You're already paying twice as much as me, my friend. All you guys are paying twice as much as me. I can see a doctor anytime. It doesn't cost me thousands of dollars if I break a bone. We care about ourselves. We don't have billionaire owners.
Okay, John, thanks for calling in today. Appreciate it. Okay, take care now. All right, well, disagreements there, folks, but that's not unusual among humans, you know. It's just that I was there in Phoenix and met a number of Canadians that were down there who had said that the health care in Canada was terrible since the government took it over. And they came down to Phoenix and to other states for good health care, okay? And so what can I tell you? I don't know more than that. I just don't know more than that. And here's John calling in and says he has no problems up there with health care. So what's the answer? I don't know.